A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Upon those who dwelt in the land of gloom, a light has shone. You have brought them abundant joy and great rejoicing, as they rejoice before you as at the harvest, as people make merry when dividing spoils. For the yoke that burdened them, the pull on their shoulder, and the rod of their taskmaster, you have smashed, as on the day of Midian. For every boot that trampled in battle, every cloak rolled in blood, will be burned for fuel as flames. For a child is born to us, a son is given us. Upon his shoulder, dominion rests. They name him Wonder Counselor, God Hero, Father Forever, Prince of Peace. His dominion is vast and forever peaceful. From David's throne and over his kingdom, which he confirms and sustains by judgment and justice, both now and forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
All the ends of the earth have seen the power of God. All the ends of the earth have seen the power of God. All the ends of the earth have seen the power of God. All the ends of the earth have seen the power of God. Song, for he has done wondrous deeds. His right hand has won the victory for him. His holy arm. All the ends of the earth have seen the power of God. All the ends of the earth have seen the power of God. The Lord has made his salvation known, his justice revealed to all, remembered his kindness and faithfulness to Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the power of God. Have seen the power of God. All of the ends of earth have seen salvation by our God. Joyfully sing out, all you lands, break forth in song. All the ends of the earth have seen the power of God. Have seen the power of God.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to Titus. Beloved, the grace of God has appeared, saving all and training us to reject godless ways and worldly desires, and to live temperately, justly, and devoutly in this age, as we await the blessed hope, the appearance of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to deliver us from all lawlessness and to cleanse for himself a people as his own, eager to do what is good. The word of the Lord.
Thanks.
Thank you.
bring you news of great joy, joy for all nations. For today is born our Savior, Christ the Lord. Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole world should be enrolled. This was the first enrollment when Quirinius was governor of Syria. So all went to be enrolled, each to his own town. And Joseph too went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David that is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, to be enrolled with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. While they were there, the time came for her to have her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were shepherds in that region living in the fields and keeping the night watch over their flock. The angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were struck with great fear. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, a Savior has been born for you, who is Christ and Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find an infant wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was a multitude of the heavenly host with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests." The Gospel of the Lord.
What have we here? That's a, you always, when you look at one, you always like what you see? We're going to talk about that in a minute. We're going to just put it there in a prominent place. I was saying the divine office last summer. I was on vacation. I was praying the office of readings. It was the feast of St. Clair of Assisi, and the reading was from the writings of St. Clair. St. Clair lived in the 1200s and was a contemporary of St. Francis of Assisi. They both lived at the same time in the small village. He founded the Franciscans, she founded the Poor Clares. What St. Clair said I had never heard before struck me very deeply. I felt a nudging of the Lord to make a note to talk to you about it today. It had to be the Lord nudging me because I don't plan that far ahead. St. Clair said, "Jesus is the splendor of eternal glory and the brightness of eternal light." Okay, that sounds like, I mean, those are wonderful things to say, glory revealed, but we pray stuff like that. Then she says, "Jesus is the mirror," that's where that comes in, "Jesus is the mirror without cloud." She says, "Behold the mirror of this birth." She calls the birth of Jesus a mirror. And she says, look into that mirror daily and study your reflection. She calls what we celebrate here, not just Jesus as a baby, but the Word becoming flesh, what Cardinal Vigneron called in his letter to us in the Archdiocese, the incarnation or the enfleshment, the making flesh of the eternal Word of God. She says, this incarnation, this enfleshment is a mirror. She calls it a mirror without cloud, a clear mirror. What can happen to mirrors in a steamy bathroom? They fog up. What can happen to side mirrors on your window in the wintertime? They get caked with snow. Not useful either time. Jesus is a clear mirror, a true mirror. We get an accurate reflection. She says, behold the birth of this mirror. In his birth, this mirror enters into time and space, something humans, flesh and blood, can use. She says, look into that mirror daily and study your reflection well. Why? What's there to see in this mirror? What's there to study? When we look into a normal mirror, what do we see? We see our natural body. We see materially what we are now. But I ask you this. Is that all there is to you? Is that all that's true about you? Or even what's most true about you? What about what has happened to all of us in baptism, where we become sons and daughters of God, temples of the Holy Spirit, presumably having sustained a state of grace? What does that look like? What does it mean to be reborn and recreated in Christ? Isn't that true? Isn't that something that is of eternal importance? What we are in Christ, we see in the mirror of Christ. We see when we look at Christ. So what is this mirror? We're going to compare mirrors now. What does this mirror tell you that you're worth? You're looking in the natural mirror. What are you worth? If we say in casual conversation, hey, what's he worth? What do we say? I don't know, I think he's rich, maybe a couple million bucks. What are you worth? If you're old, what are you worth? By a natural reckoning. If you're handicapped, what are you worth? If you're unemployed, what are you worth? If you're down on your luck, what are you worth? This mirror says, maybe you're not worth much. But what does the mirror of Christ reveal? When we look at Christ to see ourselves, what reflects back? The mirror of Christ says that you're worth the Father sending the Son. You're the reason we're celebrating what we are celebrating here. The Bible says that you are fearfully and wonderfully made, young and old, first and last. That you're made in the image and likeness of God, that you're stamped with His nature. In baptism, we become His sons and His daughters. We're God's own possession. It says that all that Jesus inherits, you will too. All the gifts in the heavens are given to us through Christ. That you are worth the price of the blood of God's only Son. The Good Shepherd came to save all the sheep, not just some, and each one the Good Shepherd lays down his life for and loves infinitely. That's what the mirror of Christ reveals about what you're worth. Not worth much or worth the blood of the Son of God. Which mirror do you like better? Which mirror gives a truer reflection? Okay, let's compare these mirrors and what they say about your dignity. What does the natural mirror, the material order, tell you about your dignity? Well, if you're the present, then trumpet blasts will announce your importance. If you have an MD, then people will call you doctor. If you sell a lot of movie tickets or sports tickets or concert tickets, then people will call you a superstar. But what if you aren't any of those people? What do you see in the mirror? Maybe something ordinary. Something this world can underestimate, overlook, and even dismiss. What does the mirror of Christ reveal? What does the mirror of Christ tell you about you? Christ makes the ordinary things of this life extraordinary with heavenly purpose. He exalts the humble, the Bible says. Christ takes the things this world calls extraordinary, acclaim, fame, wealth, and reveals them as empty and meaningless. Temporary, like smoke in the wind. He brings down the proud and the powerful. Look into the mirror of Christ and see a stable feeding trough, a lowly manger, become the throne of the King of Kings. Talk about using ordinary things. Lowly shepherds are honored with their presence at the birth of Christ, and not the rulers of Israel. That's shocking. A great reversal is going on. The mirror of Christ reveals that dignity is not found in wealth and fame and power. It's found in a simple peasant girl, one many would just dismiss. Her saying yes. True dignity is faithfulness and obedience, trust and humble service. That's what's going to get a heavenly choir singing. Okay. Looking into a natural mirror to see the dignity this world gives, or looking into the mirror of Christ, seeing the dignity that he calls forth, which one makes you look better? One last thing. We've talked about worth and dignity. Let's talk about beauty. What does the natural mirror tell you about your beauty? Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the... Don't we all want to know? Does this mirror, the natural one, announce your beauty to the world? How do you measure by the merciless, arbitrary, and superficial standards of Hollywood and Madison Avenue? Are you tall enough, thin enough, young enough, blonde enough, smart enough, lucky enough to make the magazine covers? I went 0 for 6. How'd you do? Huh? Merciless, arbitrary, and superficial. What about the mirror of Christ? What does that reveal about your beauty? 1 Peter says, let your adornment be the inner self, with the lasting beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in God's sight. That's what's precious in God's sight, and that's because God is beauty himself and recognizes true beauty. In the mirror of Christ, we see that beauty is interior and perceived by faith. Look what the Bible says about the exterior of Jesus himself. Isaiah 53 says, he grew up among us like a young plant. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him. Probably talking about his passion. We held him of no account. But upon him was the chastisement that made us whole. They discounted Jesus himself. But he was the fairest of the princes of the land. He was the glorious king before whom every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. But that was only later to be revealed in its true majesty. But it was even there in his suffering and in his obedience and in his trusting of God. In the mirror of Christ, we see a beauty that will not fade. More brilliant than gold and diamonds, we see the beauty of holiness. The only beauty, I promise you, that will not corrupt or decay. The beauty of virtue, of sacrifice, of sincere repentance, of a clear conscience, of peace with God. The natural mirror, the mirror of Christ. In which mirror do you see your beauty shine? The mirror of Christ is what St. Clare says the incarnation, the feast we're celebrating today, Jesus becoming one of us, that the incarnation gives us. Look into that mirror daily and study it well. He goes on to say, with the grace of God, this mirror will be a source of contemplation. The more you look, the more you see, the deeper you'll go. She says to look more deeply into the mirror, the depths of the mirror, ponder his unspeakable love. The mirror of Christ lifts us up. The mirror of Christ reveals who we are really called to be. The mirror of Christ will reveal the lies that torment us and steal the truth, the word of God from our hearts. I promise you, looking into the mirror of Christ will transform you. In this feast, the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ, the eternal word of God becoming human flesh, is a mirror for you, in which you can see the most important things about your life with great clarity and great glory. Look into it daily, look into it deeply. This mirror reveals the true secrets of Christmas.